Hello, Tim.
Hi there. How are you? Recorded like we always do. So I guess we have to behave ourselves now.
Okay.
Well, welcome everyone to the annual audit committee meeting. This has been a wild year. It's been a challenge getting everything put together for this year's audit, in addition to all the COVID restrictions and those kind of fun things that we've worked through. But I do appreciate all of you spending some time with us this afternoon. I was telling Councillor Kohler a little bit earlier, the primary reason for this meeting really is just to give you folks an opportunity to interact with our auditors, make sure that you have your opportunity to ask questions, that kind of thing, as far as how the audit for the year went. But given that, there's a few things I'd kind of like to open up with. I guess the first order of business on the agenda today is the approval of the prior year meeting minutes. So if someone would like to make a motion for that, I would appreciate it.
So moved.
Do we have a second?
Second.
All right, everyone who's in favor can go ahead and raise your hand. Any opposed? Are you opposing, Jonathan? Okay. Looks like the motion went through. The next order of business for the day is the comprehensive annual financial report. I'm going to go ahead and share my screen. So I can kind of show you some of the pages that we're talking about. See if I can get the right screen up. So Councillor Smith is joining us now. So again, highlights of the year is we got both of our totem poles done. So if this is the front cover is a picture of the totem pole. So pretty exciting. Move into a couple pages. Really a couple things I wanted to point out here as we get into the-
Hey Tim? Tim?
Yes.
It still shows the agenda on my screen.
Yes, okay. How about that?
There we go. Okay.
Okay. So I'll just go ahead and leave it on that side. I was disappointed last year. We actually became the 14th largest city. We were down from the 13th. Right down here is where we talked about that. Lake Oswego passed us again. And we've been kind of in a neck and neck tie with them for the last several years. I was really excited a couple of years. We became the 13th largest city. Now we're back down to the 14th. Looking into the future, we still have a really small growth rate. I think as of the last numbers published, we grew five people during the year, so that was a little bit disappointing. The other thing to note over here is that the property taxes, we're really looking at a closer to a 3% growth in our property taxes, which is a significant number for the city. Historically, we've been a little closer to the 4% range, and that has a significant impact on our general fund as our revenues continue to shrink there. The revenue increases each year are being outpaced by the increases in personnel costs. So that's a little bit on the frustrating side. The other item of note that I've mentioned in city council meetings is that we did receive the Government Finance Officers Association certificate for achievement for excellence in financial reporting for our CAFR from June 30th, 2019. So that was the 21st year that we've gotten it. We did submit for it again this year, and I anticipate we'll get it for this year's CAFR as well. So that'll be the 22nd year in a row that we've done that. We also got the Distinguished Budget Award. So that we've been working on that one for about 6 years now. We will submit continuing to go forward. They have made a few changes in the requirements going forward. So we'll probably have a few changes to our budget documents and CAFR documents into the future. So that's the excitement there. If you have any questions along the way, feel free to answer. I'm just going to skip through a few pages of some of the highlights of the financial activity. However, I can go back and address anything that you think is of interest. So over on the right-hand side of the page, the interesting thing of note, consistent with previous years, are business type funds, which are water funds, stormwater funds, sewer fund, continue to be very stable. The change in position is always positive from year to year. That's a good sign. That means that we're very stable with our utilities. We're able to reinvest into the fund. Councillor Colwood?
Thank you, Tim. If you would be kind enough to let us know what page you're on, because the numbers on your screen are really small.
Okay, this is actually page 18 in the electronic version. It would be page 7 in the paper copy.
Thank you very much.
Unfortunately, we don't have the same situation with our governmental funds, and that would be our general fund, street fund, those type of funds. We had a pretty big increase in our change or decrease in our changing that position going the wrong way. Some of that's kind of planned. We had some capital projects that we had budgeted the previous years that finally caught up to us, and we spent that cash building projects. So that's some of the reasons. So it's not all doom and gloom, but there is a fairly significant PERS impact that we'll be able to look at further along. If we go to page 27 in the electronic version, 16 in the paper, this would be basically our balance sheet if we were to look at it. Really the only item of note that I was gonna bring up here is our net pension liability. There's a lot of talk in PERS about their outstanding pension liability. Our piece of it is $11.7 million. So what that's telling us is if everything stopped, City of Kaiser stopped, and we had to come current with all of our liability for pension, we'd have to write a check for $11.7 million to PERS. So that would not be good, but the good thing is that's not all due now. We have over the employee's career to pay that into PERS. So. We're actually relatively new with PERS for most of the city. So our rates are still somewhat better than a lot of the other agencies, although they are getting worse. And we'll be talking about that during the long range planning meeting as well. Let's see.
Hey, Tim.
Sure.
Can you, on that last page you were on, can you talk a little bit about the unrestricted fund net position being negative? $4 million upside down, what's going on there?
Sure, a majority of that is GAAP type of entries related to PERS. So we're required to recognize the liability as well as the expense for GAAP purposes, generally accepted accounting principles for our audited financial statements. That's not something that we would pick up necessarily in our budgeted financial statements. So that's the biggest driver of why we're upside down there. I would like to see that become positive someday. That would really make me happy, but we'll kind of see as we go.
What would it take to make that positive?
We would probably need a significant influx of revenues of some sort. Probably the biggest piece would be shoring up some reserves, that kind of a thing. That would be the best area to do that. Also for us as a city, In our GAAP financial statements, we have a lot of assets that we're depreciating. We're also not seeing that in our budgeted financial statements by and large. So that's also contributing a little bit to that negative balance as well.
Okay.
Yes. I'm going to go back a couple pages here. Sorry about that. So if we look on the right side, it's paper copy, page 7, electronic version 17. A few of the highlights, you can see our revenues, our business activities are relatively consistent. Those are the middle two columns. So there's really not a lot to talk about there. Like I say, they're fairly stable. When we look at the government activities, the first two columns, you can see that we've had a decrease in fines, fees, and charges for services. That's going to be somewhat timing and also related to the COVID shutdown. We're not seeing some things float through there like we did in the past. Operating gains and contributions, that's decreased a couple hundred thousand. That's primarily gas tax revenues. With the COVID shutdown, we've really seen a significant decrease in people driving, which results in a significant decrease in our gas taxes. For capital gains and capital grants and contributions, that's significantly down. During the previous year, we got a lot of grant revenue to build the outhouses at Kaiser Rapids Park. So that's one of the bigger pieces of why that's down so much for the year. I'm looking at the taxes and assessments.
Mr. Tim?
Sure.
Is the TOT funds also in the grants and contributions?
They believe that they're in the miscellaneous number.
They significantly dropped also.
For the year being audited, they were still up significantly, a significant amount. When we look at 2020-21, they're about 50% of what they were last year. So we've seen a significant hit there. Also with community center rentals for 2019-20, we did see a hit towards the end, but we haven't seen any revenue yet so far, and we're what, almost 8 months through the year this year. So we've had a significant shutdown there. Councilor Day?
I'm gonna start my comment off or my question off with the old joke about lawyers and math. There's a reason why we went to law schools, because we can't do math. But when I'm looking at let's just start with the governmental activities. Why is the beginning net position for 2020 not? Oh, I guess it is. I'm sorry. Never mind. I got it. I had just answered my own question. Never mind.
Fair enough.
I was looking at the wrong column.
Taxes and assessments are pretty flat. I guess they're up about 3%. You're not exactly going to see a 3% increase here. During the previous year, we got a windfall of about $100,000. There was some cases, companies. I'm losing my mind today. In the past, they petitioned and said, hey, our property taxes aren't right. We want to redo. The county withheld $100,000 during previous years. During 2019, we actually got that $100,000. So the prior year number is a little bit larger in comparison to the current year. So we're actually looking at a 3.3% increase. And that's going to be closer to like a one something. So that's why the discrepancy. With franchise fees, we're really seeing those coming in flat. The only increases that we're really seeing are associated with our water, stormwater, sewer, the utilities that the city actually controls. The other areas for 1920, natural gas, electricity, Comcast, telephone, a lot of those were flat or decreasing. And that's really a product of the city not growing significantly, because without new customers, new residents, new service, we're really not seeing those numbers go up significantly. Intergovernmental is increasing. This includes a lot of our liquor taxes, cigarette taxes, revenue sharing. That's up. We had a lot of people at home the last couple of quarters day drinking. So that was, and that's continued on into fiscal year 2021. And so that's really what your, as far as our revenues go, some of the major changes. And with our program expenses, you see a significant increase. A lot of that is going to be the PERS related expense for the year, in addition to some of the cost of living type of increases. So, Councilor Day?
What about cannabis, the 3% tax? Is that included in intergovernmental as well?
That's included in taxes and assessments.
Okay, all right.
And that number has been doing pretty well for us. Overall, for the year, we were north of $200,000 for that. And we originally anticipated we'd be closer to $100,000 to $140,000. So people also smoking a lot, I guess. So. I think we'll flip back to some of the budget areas.
What's the decrease in miscellaneous? About a $200,000 increase.
Decrease in miscellaneous. A lot of that's going to be interest related. And we saw a significant decrease in interest revenues. Also some of the non-discretionary fee services, that kind of thing, we're seeing some decreases there as well.
How many of the decreases are related even tangentially to COVID? Would you, I mean, in your opinion, many, any, zero?
Well, we have probably three really key areas that have been impacted. Civic Center rentals, that whole thing is dried up, obviously.
Right.
We're seeing some decrease in the TOT tax. So right. That would be the other area. And then the one that's really the most concerning is the gas tax.
Gotcha.
Yeah, those three are really the big ones. I think probably right now into 2021, we are seeing some of the nesting effect from people being at home. So some of the electricity, natural gas are starting to increase a little bit. And Comcast is actually, Comcast is increasing as well, or I guess their decrease is lessening. And so that's a positive sign as well. Any other questions before we move on? I'll take you towards the back of the book here. A couple of things I just wanted to point out as well. After the year ended, we had a couple of subsequent events, which are kind of unusual, I guess, for us. We typically don't have a lot of excitement post-audit. But this year we did find out that we were awarded a grant, the CARES grant, Coronavirus Recovery Act. The city got $1.1 million. It's on a reimbursement basis. At the time the financials were done, we'd received, let's see how much, about $271,000. As of today, we've received about $1 million of that. And we do anticipate that we'll get all $1.1 million of that. We've used the money to do some construction projects at City Hall. We put glass in the front. And we also used about $300,000 to provide assistance for utilities, rent, that kind of thing to Kaiser residents. And we've also done a lot of upgrades to software programs to promote teleworking, that kind of a thing. So I first saw the number and I thought, how in the heck can we use all this? But it's gone by pretty quick. So we've done a good job of spending it. The other item of note is that we did unfortunately have to let a couple of people go. We let go both of the people that are closely involved with the community center. We just couldn't justify keeping them on with no work. So November time period, we let two folks go. That was a hard one, but unfortunately we kind of had to do it. And if the community center does come back on, we'll look at adding those positions back in. So page 65 of the paper, 79 of the electronic version. This is our general fund. This is our budget to actual for the year. A couple of items of note, license and permits. We were a little bit behind. This is some of the discretionary franchise fees where we came a little bit short as we were moved through the year. Also intergovernmental, I think we got a little bit too excited and didn't come in quite as high as we thought we would, but we still are doing quite well overall. biggest reason for the intergovernmental is we had a few grants that we thought we would receive during the year. We didn't receive them last year, but we did receive them during 2021. So you'll actually see that we're a little over budget this year, even though we were under budget last year for those numbers. So let's see. all the other areas, we were pretty much under budget. And throughout the entire city, we were under budget. We really do a lot in cost containment through time, especially when COVID came around. We started stopping any of the spending that really wasn't necessary just to keep cash on hand if something were to come up. So that's the highlight there. Let's see. We go to page 68, 81 in the electronic version. This is our street fund. And like I say, we had a $264,000 shortfall in gas tax revenue. That does have a significant impact, and it's forcing us during fiscal year 2021 to reduce the amount of street paving that we're doing. It's not going to be super detrimental, but we have to do some serious concentration and focus of where we're going to be doing some street type maintenance stuff. We're watching that every month as we see the gas tax revenues come through. And right now we're getting to the point where we're annualizing against the big decreases that we saw last year. So hopefully we'll start to see a little bit of recovery as people start to go back to work. So I think the final area to take a peek at for your page 93, electronic version 108. This is our community center fund. And you can see charges for service. We were clipping along, and I thought we were going to blow the $215,000 out of the water last year. And we only ended up coming up with $146,000. That's about $50,000 less than the previous year. So that was a kind of a big surprise that caught us during the last quarter of the year. And then miscellaneous, this is our primarily our TOT revenues. Like I say, we thought we were gonna do about 161,000. We did 213,000. Both hotels seem to be doing all right up to this point. Although during the fiscal year 2021, like I say, they're about 50% of what they were doing during the previous years. You can see in the expenditure area, we came under budget by about 112,000. That's again, us not hiring an additional body that we thought we were going to do for the community center, as well as just putting a limit on all of our expenses that we didn't need to. So that's really the highlights from the financial statements. At this point, I'd be willing to take any additional questions you have, concerns, thoughts. Councilor Day?
I had a question about, it was on page, going back to page six. Well, first of all, the first thing I want to say is I read a lot of audits and these kind of financial statements, and this is really, I can see why you guys get an award. This was very easy to follow, and I really appreciated it. So kudos to you and to Ms. Wilson and everyone else. You guys, phenomenal. The question I had was, the elephant in the room, PERS. The liabilities, it says in here, increased by 2.6 million. And then we had a change in actuarial, underlying actuarial assumptions, which also increased by the liability by $500,000. Is that accurate?
I agree with that.
Okay. So my question is do we know what our liability is going to be for 2021?
Not yet. We should know that. Well, I may be lying. I may have the information already. I would have to go back and look. I'm trying to, in my mind, remember when they actually give us the reports. And we typically get the information in October. But
I'd have to go back. Are we going to be able to plan and prepare not only for 2021, but 2022 and 2023? Because, you know, I'm the new guy here. I understand that, but I also, you know, been around and know long enough that this is a major item in our budget. And I'm just curious if this is going to continue to be an albatross in our budget, or, and if so, can we plan for it?
I would say that we do know it's going to be a pain for probably the next 4 to 6 years. And we already have our rates ready that go into effect July 1st. So we know the black eye is coming. It's about a $500,000 hit with the increased rates.
Okay.
It kind of gets us every 2 years when the rates increase. And so the hits have been consistently $300,000 to $500,000 over the last 4 to 6 years. And really the driving factor a lot of the time has been the investment rate of return. So that actuarial assumption that you're talking about, probably the majority of that impact is the change in the rate of return that PERS is expecting. So I think they started off at 7.75. I think they went to 7.5 or something like that. And I don't have the numbers exactly in front of me.
Right.
That's really what is driving the impact. And then to the extent that the rate of return is different from that, then we get hit again. So,
right. What if the rate of return is better than what they forecast? Do we get a rebate or credit, or
our rates into the future would actually go down?
Okay. So
it would be a benefit to the city for sure.
They should start investing in GameStop.
That's good for the first 20 minutes. Just make sure you sell quick. Any other questions anyone have on the financial statements? If not, I'll go ahead and turn it over to our auditors.
I have a question.
Oh, okay.
How much are we counting on those revenue streams going back to normal, like 2019? Like you mentioned, gas taxes and a few of the other ones.
Well, our 2021 budget really was based on going back to somewhat of a normal, if not flat. Unfortunately, here we are 8 months through and we're still not really back to any type of normal. So we are going to be seeing an impact during this year. As we look into the 21-22 budget, which we'll be talking about the long range planning meeting, we are really basically saying this is the new normal at this point. We'll adjust up if we see the revenues continue to increase. But this year, we've really put a hold on any new hires. So that's typically what it's really our only option as far as addressing the revenue shortfalls. They're still with us. And I think the 21-22 budget will look a little bit different. I'm probably a lot more conservative on the revenue sides going forward.
Hey, Tim, I have a question.
Okay.
This may be appropriate for long range planning, so feel free to kick it down the road to then if you want, but talk to me a little bit about what you see with the community center moving forward. Is it going to be, you know, is it in the next 6 to 8 months, you see it being a big drain on the city, or is it just kind of static, or what's going on there?
It's going to be somewhat static for the moment. I don't necessarily see, it's going to be somewhat of a drain, to be honest. We're still keeping the lights and the heat and that kind of stuff going. And we have spent some money doing some maintenance, that kind of a thing that we needed to do. We don't have the payroll costs, which are some of the bigger ongoing dollars there right now. So we've done what we can to try to minimize the costs. We have enough in reserve there to last us through probably 21-22 without a lot of revenue. So the fund itself will be fine for the immediate term. I guess on a positive note, we are getting requests for people curious about renting again. So I think once some of the restrictions lessen and people can actually meet in groups, I think we'll see some of the business come back. The challenge I think that we may see is some of our bigger clients, the school district, ODOT, some of those folks have gotten really comfortable with electronic meetings. So we may never see them come back. So I think there is probably some permanent damage that's been done. How much, what kind of a number is that? I'm not sure yet. Any other questions for anyone at this point? I guess at this point, then I'll go ahead and turn it over to our auditors. Kathy Wilson from Grove Mueller and Swank is with us. And I'll let you go ahead and do your thing.
Thank you, Tim. Thanks everybody for meeting today to go over the financial numbers and the results of the audit. I'd like to start off by commending Tim and staff at the city for their professionalism and their responsiveness, even in the situation we've had this year. We were able to get the audit done. It was very succinct and we had no issues with getting our information timely in order to be able to complete our jobs. So I appreciate his commitment to making sure that his audit gets done on a timely basis. So in the comprehensive annual financial report, there are two reports in here that belong to us. Everything else belongs to the city. On page electronic page 12, or if you have it in paper copy, it's just page one, is the beginning of our independent auditor's report. And this is our discussions with you regarding the results of the audit. Talks about management's responsibility for the financial statements, which is to actually put these financial statements together in accordance with generally accepted accounting principles. And our responsibility is really to go through and determine, is the information that's in here presented fairly and is it all being presented appropriately? So the important part in this letter is the opinion, which is where everybody wants to go to. And that's whether or not there were any issues with it. And you've received an unmodified opinion, which is a clean opinion. So in our opinion, this financial statements are presented in accordance with generally accepted accounting principles, and there's no material modifications that are needed for them to be presented as such. We also provide an in relation to opinion for the other supplementary information that's included in the report. That's all your budgetaries in the back, though they also in relation to the basic financial statements are presented appropriately. So then the other report that's in here is on page, I believe it's 147 in the electronic copy, yes, and 130, so at the very back. And that is the auditor's report that we're required to produce to the state of Oregon. And so this gets reported to the state of Oregon and they take a look at this and they want us to look at whether or not you're in compliance with the ORSs and the local budget law and all of the rules that you're supposed to follow. So there's a whole list of things there that we look at, as well as a few other things. And then we determine whether or not you guys were in compliance or if there was material non-compliance. And there was nothing that came to our attention that would make us believe that you were not in compliance with what you were supposed to be in compliance with. So. That is really all I have to say about either of those. Any questions on the reports?
Just a comment. I feel good for Tim that he doesn't have to go try on an orange suit.
Yeah, he's in the clear for another year.
I'm a beaver, but not that much of a beaver.
Okay. The other piece of document that you receive from us is the governance letter. And so this is our required communications with you. Talks about the audit itself, how everything went. Thankfully, with everything else that was going on in 2020, it was a pretty quiet year from the financial reporting standpoint. There were not a lot of changes. There were not a lot of pronouncements that impacted financial statements. So that was great. The audit went smoothly. We had no disagreements with management or anything that was contentious. We have requested representation from management, and that's included in with this letter at the back. And that just their representation that they provided us to access to all the information that we needed, and that all the information they gave us was true and accurate, and that there weren't any issues with fraud or other things, non-compliance, a variety of things like that. So. There was nothing that was noted in there that would be of concern. So, and that's really, really my piece of it's very small. So I'm open for questions.
How, just curious, again, being the new guy here, how long does it take you to gather the information and then, you know, conduct the audit and produce the report? Just as a general rule, is it a matter of days, weeks, months?
Well, it depends on how good the people are that are providing the information and how timely they are about getting that. We come out to the city, generally we're out on site. We come out once in the late spring, and that's to look at your controls, your systems that you have in place, determine if there is any weaknesses or anything else identified. We didn't have anything to report this year. So we look at the major transaction systems, your cash receipts, your cash disbursements, payroll, those things. And then we come back out again for a week for field work. And I'm there with, you know, three or four staff members, and we're looking at all the documents that we've requested Tim to pull and make sure that everything looks good. When we leave the field, there's quite a bit of wrap up, and then it's on Tim to get that CAFR produced. And so once he's produced that CAFR, we go through it. Oh, I don't know how many times we go back and forth, Tim, 4 or 5 times.
About
the changes and things like that. It's a big document, so it's really, really easy to get, you know, everything needs to be synced up. All the numbers need to agree between things. And so it's quite a process, actually, several months.
Okay.
This year was a little later than normal, and, you know, COVID really had a lot to do with that. So
right.
Usually you guys are about mid-November or so.
Mm-hmm. I was definitely a little bit behind as far as getting my pieces out the door. It's been a challenge with staffing and that kind of stuff. You know, when you get put in a situation like we've been in for the last year, you kind of realize what you've been taking for granted all these years.
Yeah.
I'll be honest, I miss a lot of the what we used to do. So it was definitely a balancing act of managing staff and keeping everyone moving forward. And like I say, we did do a reduction in staff, so that had a significant impact on my team as well, as we picked up some of the pieces. So. But we've had a good working relationship with Grove, Mueller, and Swank. I do appreciate that we do see a lot of the same faces that come out every year. So they know us a lot better. I think that's a positive thing.
Overall. Oh yeah, absolutely.
And there's sometimes question regarding whether the same people come out, you know, if people can be complacent. That's one of the things we're very careful. We talk it to our staff about making sure that we're looking at everything. We change things up every year to make sure that we're looking at things in a different way. So that if there was something that was kind of being slid under the rug, we would probably trip upon it.
Gotcha.
Make you aware of that. So we feel it's a benefit to bring people out that have been on the job before, because then they're familiar with the things that they need to ask for and the processes that are in place. So
And I'd also reiterate, if they ever do find anything that's, you know, out of sorts, we make every adjustment that's recommended. I find it much easier to work that direction. So we're all kind of in the same agreement at the end when we're done. So that,
yeah.
And if there was anything that was significantly amiss, I would be on the phone with you guys. So, and not Tim.
No, I understand. I appreciate that.
Any other additional questions at this point? I guess the last item of our agenda is kind of a catch-all. I have a few things that we've already touched upon, just of items of note to think about into the future or next year's meeting. Again, like we talked about, the Civic Center, a significant impact on their revenues going forward. We've really yet to book much of anything during fiscal 2021, so we're going to see probably a big old goose egg as far as revenues go. TOT taxes are about 50% of what we received in the past. So they're still doing some business at the hotels, but nothing like they've done in the past. The other area that we really haven't talked about is Volcano Stadium. They have made the news a little bit. We collect about $50,000 from them every year in rental fees associated with the, I guess they lease the stadium or the ground from us, and they also pay us a commission. And that equals to about $50,000. With the loss of the minor league position, they're moving to what appears to be a private league. So we'll have to see how sales and the revenues from that come through. They have been meeting with us on a quite regular basis to give us their plans. So it seems like it's a positive move forward, but there is a little bit of risk there. The other thing that I was just a little bit surprised to see that the city only grew by 5 people. So I guess that's one house got put in or something over the last year. So a little bit disappointing to see that. As we talk about, we'll talk a little more in our long range planning, but you can see it really is a, if you build it, they will come. The years where we've had significant increases in population, it's because of new retirement centers going in or new apartment complexes and those kind of things popping up, and that really has an immediate impact on bringing people to the community. So the ongoing growth, I know the city councilors have been talking about urban growth expansion kind of things, but that's probably gonna get moved more and more to the front as we talk about what we want Kaiser to look like in the future. So with that, is there any additional questions? Any other items people have of note? Seeing nothing else, again, I appreciate all of you joining me on a Thursday afternoon. Nothing like an audit committee meeting. It's a real barn burner. So with that, I say thank you, everyone. I'll let you get back to your day.